On this episode of the Endurance Hour, triathlon off-season, training, transition seasons, track workouts, and sports injuries, and the aging athlete. The Endurance Hour podcast starts right now. It is so good to have you back for episode 142 of the Endurance Hour podcast. I'm Dave Erickson. Today's a pretty darn good show. We have one, two, three, four, five different guest interviews with, endurance gold dripping from the ceiling. We've got Coach Wendy Mader from T2Coaching.com. She's a USAT Level 2 coach. She's a 2008 Hawaii Ironman first overall amateur finisher. She's going to talk about off-season triathlon training ideas. We're going to talk to Greg Gallagher, also a USAT coach, who just finished on the podium at Ironman 70.3 Arizona this year, the first time they had that race. His first time as a podium finisher. Pretty exciting for Greg. He's going to talk about transition seasons. It'll make sense when you hear his interview. Matt Russell, professional triathlete Matt Russell, your 2012 Ironman Canada winner. Track workouts for speed, intervals for running stuff. And then we have off-season training ideas with Kelly Philnow, another one of these certified coaches who's also a pro triathlete. And we're going to finish things off with Dr. Brian Mather, owner of the Spokane Chiropractic and Sports Injury Clinic, talking about sports injuries and the aging athlete, who is me. Anybody over 40 is an aging athlete. Some of you might feel like you're aging as a 30-something, but when you're 40, you can kind of feel it. Takes a lot longer to warm up, and the joints aren't as smooth and easy to move around as they used to be. So we're going to talk with him as well. So let's kick things off on this episode with some off-season triathlon training ideas from T2 coaching coach Wendy Mader. And what you're going to hear in some of these episodes, as I kind of alluded to in episode 141 during this reboot, this rebirth of the Endurance Hour, like our third rebirth, is that I'm recording these Skype interviews with coaches on a weekly basis. And, you know, Wendy's a coach, Greg's a coach, Matt, so is Kelly. And they're all coaches in the world of endurance sports, specifically triathlon. But we're doing these individual segments, and I'm giving them the tag of Ask Coach Wendy, for example, or Ask Coach Gallagher, or Ask Matt Russell, Ask Coach Philnow, for Kelly Philnow. So they have their own little segments, so that's what I'm drawing from these interviews that I'm doing. I'm putting them together to give you some good quality content, but some variety too, from different perspectives. And this is the theme of this show, is kind of the off season. What can you do? Some suggestions. And then, of course, if you're an aging athlete, here's some sports injuries and how to avoid getting them. If you do have them, some solutions. So again, that's what this is all about. Sorry for the explanation, but here we go. We're going to kick it off one more time with Wendy Mader, some off season triathlon training ideas. And welcome back to Ask Coach Wendy. Alongside Wendy Mader, I'm Dave Erickson. If you have a question for Coach, use the hashtag Ask Coach Wendy on Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube. And today is about the off season, which there really is no off season when it comes to triathlon, or at least some people don't think there is. Coach Wendy, what is the definition of an off season, and is there really such thing?
What is off about the off season? For me, having been racing for almost 25 years, I don't really take time off. How I like to go about the off season, I don't even really call it an off season anymore. I just call it fall. I just call it my fall and winter season. So I like to really cut down the volume and cut down intensity. But because I really like to bike and run, I still want to do it. And I think, you know, everyone's going to be a little bit different, but if you love what you do, why stop doing it? You just want to modify some volume, modify some intensity. I'm someone that loves to strength train. I like to do in-home workouts. I like to go to the gym. I like to do machines and free weights. And that's something that gets very neglected during my racing season, which my racing season is generally June through October or June through September. So I really look forward to doing strength training. It's, for me, the best way to keep lean body mass, because we lose that as we age, and we lose that through the endurance training that we do. So I look forward to that. You know, there's programs like TRX. If you belong to a gym or a health club, I like to take advantage of the yoga and the Pilates, really focused on that core. You know, having done this sport for almost 25 years, I really neglected my core until about 2010. And I'm like, I don't want to be injured anymore. What am I missing in my program? And it was core training. So as soon as I really started focusing on my core training, shoulders to hips, I stopped getting injured. I really haven't been injured since 2009. So I know the benefits of doing that type of activity in the fall and winter. I like to go on hikes. I like to do trail running. I like to just leave my watch at home and just go and not really worry about a certain pace or a certain time. And I usually really like the athletes that I coach to do that as well. Some athletes really want a program in the fall and winter, and it really just depends on their goal. So ultimately, let's backtrack. What you do in the fall and winter really depends on your goal. If it's, you know, it's October now, if you have an upcoming race in early spring, well, you might have to start hitting it hard if training wise. And maybe your off time, your transitional time was in the summer. So everyone's, again, going back to the off season is so relevant to the person's schedule. Most people's off transition prep season is in the fall. That's why I just like to refer to it as a fall winter, because off is dependent. If you took the summer off, well, you need to get your ass in gear in the fall.
Right.
So, yeah, it's the whole core functional strength training, enjoy the weather, non-structured, but keep moving.
And there's something to be said for maybe that mental off season, because we mm-hmm. can be so intense and focused on preparing for a race that, yeah, keep on doing some of these things, maybe low intensity, and give your mind a break and give your spirit a break.
Absolutely. I don't want to be told what to do. I don't want the pressure of, oh my God, I'm supposed to be going a certain pace, or oh my gosh, I have to go on a four-hour ride. I just want to go out on my bike, and however long I ride is how long I'm going to ride. I think yeah, that mental as well as physical break is needed.
Something about the joy and keeping that passion alive, because a lot of people can burn out mentally and lose that fire within to go and continue 11 months out of the year. It's really hard.
I used to be that person. I'm so fit, why would I want to stop? You know, so let's keep going. Yeah. And then at the time where I was supposed to start ramping things up, I was too tired. So in that springtime, you know, the time changes, you're ready to be outside more. I was like, I guess I didn't know it, but I was burned out. This is way back in the early days. I never stopped going. I kept the volume, I kept the intensity all year round, and therefore I was hurt a lot, injured.
And something as a coach, I would believe that you would suggest this, there's so much that can happen if you stay with a swim, bike, run routine, that these other things are a good complement to your body, like working on the core, working some strength training, maybe do something that's non-triathlon related to give your body a different balance.
Right. You know, one year, I think it was in 2010 when I really started mixing it up, because I belong to a health club, I spent 2 months and I went to every single class that was offered. I'm not into the fitness classes, but I tried Zumba. My body doesn't move that way, but I gave it a shot. You know, I committed to 2 months of no swim, bike, run, no, and not even really strength training, but I'm going to do every class. And that's when I found yoga and Pilates, and that kind of worked for me. Okay. So yeah, trying new stuff is fun.
You got a question for Coach Wendy? Use the hashtag AskCoachWendy on Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube, and we will possibly feature that question on an upcoming episode. All right, Wendy, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Coach Greg Gallagher. Greg is a USAT certified triathlon coach, 26 years of experience coaching, training, and racing. He's a 5-time Ironman finisher, 16 times 70.3 Ironman finisher. He's been to 2 70.3 Ironman World Championship races, an ITU long course world championship race. Greg's been around the block. He knows a lot about triathlon. And today we're talking about transition seasons in his own words. So here's our short interview. This one's about 4.5 minutes long with Greg. And welcome back to Ask Coach Gallagher. Alongside Greg Gallagher, I'm Dave Erickson, and Greg's in Spokane, Washington. And today's topic has to do with the transitional phases throughout our season or postseason. And if you have a question for Greg, use the hashtag Ask Coach Gallagher on Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube. All right, Greg, you have different types of transitional phases within the season. There could be a mid-season transition, and then also, quote, our off-season
Yes, at the end of the season. Yeah. So your mid-season, say you have an A race earlier in the year, and you have another A race, say, you know, halfway through the end of the season. So you don't want to train for 9-10 months straight, and you could get burnt out. So you take that little break. So that transition phase is where you maybe take a week off of training, just kind of keep things fun, kind of let your body recover from all the stuff you've done after that last race. Mentally, you need that little break, and so then you start back up. And then when you get into the end of the season, that's the big one. That's when it could be up to 2 weeks, or at least 2 weeks, up to six, depending on how you're feeling, how you're recovering from that race. And if your last race of the season is an Ironman, I always recommend 4 weeks off. 4 weeks off of doing nothing related to triathlon. You know, you can go on a little bike ride with the kids. You know, you can go on a hike. You do other activities other than triathlon, because you need that break, and your body needs to recover, and you need that mental break. So, you know, there's three objectives. So you have the rest and recoup. So that's where you're letting your body recover. Then you have the where you're going to assess your season. See, look at your season. See how things went. See the, you know, maybe there's some good things and bad things. You're not looking for fault in yourself. You're just looking to see what worked and what didn't work, so you can improve on for next year. And then you have you're physically active, so you're still out there doing some stuff, but it's not, again, it's not triathlon related. I get end of an Ironman. Let's take 4 weeks off and go play ball with the kids and do something other than sitting on the bike. And you don't want any of these sessions to have a specific outcome. You're not looking at going, oh, I'm going to go on this short ride, but I got to get this done. So you need to have a clean slate, assess your season, and start building for next year.
You said the word build there. I'm thinking this is probably something you build into your season. So you say, okay, I have an A race and it ends at the, you know, June 1st. Okay, I'm going to build in a 2.5 week buffer where I'm going to transition out of it, let my mind clear, kind of let the body recuperate, exactly, and then ramp back up to the second half of the season.
Yes, exactly. And again, at the end of the season, that's when you have your downtime. You have to figure out, maybe you start planning for next year. That's always the best time after you've just had that last race, let your body recoup, and then start training or start planning for your training phases for the next season, and plan out your A races, plan out your B races, and get your schedule ready. And that's the great time to do it during that transition phase.
I can imagine some athletes out there thinking, gosh, I don't want to lose the fitness that I've gained and built over the last 5 months. So how many weeks can I take off before I start losing some fitness?
Well, you're gonna lose some fitness, but you gotta let that peak fitness go. It's the end of your season, and you have no reason to hang on to it, because you have to let your body recover, both again physically and mentally. You're gonna gain it back. It's not like you're gonna go in the hole. You're gonna lose some fitness, but you're not gonna take the 5 months to build back up where it was. So, yeah.
It's kind of like a muscle memory, but fitness memory. You've been there before. Yeah, you've reached a certain level. I can get back up there faster because I've been there before.
And you've also taken that recovery time, so your body's ready to go again. Your mind is ready to go again. Things are healed up. You're taking that time to fix any little tweaks. You know, something was bothering you. You know, your knee's bothering you. Maybe you got a shoulder issue. Well, you take that time to fix those things before you start up again. If you start up too quick, you're going to get mentally burnt out.
Yeah. All right. If you got a question for Greg, use the hashtag AskCoachGallagher on Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube. Greg, thanks a lot. We'll see you next time.
Okay. Thanks, Dave.
Matt Russell is a longtime friend of the podcast, also a former member of the Timex multi-sport team. Lots of accomplishments for this young man in the world of endurance sports. He's a two-time duathlon national champion, Ironman Canada winner, top-ranked American at the Ironman distance from 2012 to 2014. 35-time Ironman finisher, 4-time Kona finisher, very accomplished. And, you know, when it comes to running, his best marathon, open marathon time, 2:29. His best 5K time, 14:46. This topic and this interview, which is about 5 minutes long, is about track workouts for triathletes. How do you incorporate track workouts to get a lot faster? Here's my interview with Matt Russell.
And welcome back to Ask Coach Russell. I'm Dave Erickson here, side by side with Matt Russell, who is on his trainer right now. But today's topic has to do with running and track workouts. And Matt, you come from a running background. Talk about how you incorporate speed work on the track to increase your overall speed as a runner.
So when you do track workout, everyone thinks with track, oh, you're going to run, be running fast. And the nice thing about the track is it's a really controlled environment. So you can really monitor each lap, you know, with whatever watch that you have, and a heart rate monitor as well, which is great. So that being said, I've done a ton of track workouts in high school and in college. And with that being said, it's different from running track for a cross country or track and field versus running on the track for a triathlon. And the reason why I say that, as a runner, you're going to be doing a lot more repeats and a lot harder because running's your only discipline. With triathlon, you have to focus on cycling and swimming as well. So it's a whole balance. Having that balance, you don't want to bury yourself on the track. I like doing a good workout is building. Like you could say, do 1,000 meter repeats. So that's 2.5 laps on outdoor track. Start out, you could do 2 to 3 and build to 5 or 6. Now, these aren't going to be workouts that you're hunched over, killing yourself. The goal of the workouts is you're stressing your body to push at a stronger pace, at a faster pace than what you're going to be doing out on in a triathlon. So after you recover from that, you're going to benefit from it because let's say your average pace running in a certain triathlon is 8.5 minutes. Well, if you're doing workouts on the track that are right around 7 minutes, you're going to be able to slowly close that down. So track workout helps your tempo workout, and usually tempo is roughly what you're going to be racing in a triathlon, depending on the distance.
How often during your training week would you incorporate a track workout, or is it a certain type of time of the season that you do those things?
You know, that's something you can do a variety of different ways, but a way that I like, how I like to do it is first building a base, so not necessarily touching the track right away. And then once you get on the track, looking at, you know, one day a week, and that one day a week, you're doing the track workouts, and then I like to do another workout that's tempo. So track workouts help your tempo, and then your tempo workouts help your long run. So a typical training schedule for running for workouts is on Tuesday, it's a track workout. Thursday, it's a tempo workout. And then on Sunday is usually your long run. And in between there, it's just kind of fillers and you're just running at endurance effort.
Okay. And just for clarity, the difference between what's a tempo run versus a endurance run?
So a great way to figure out your zones are to, well, first do a max effort run, such as a 2 mile time trial on the track or a 5K running race. And then once you determine your max heart rate, you can figure out what zones you need to be in. So endurance effort is usually, they consider zone 2, which is usually, there's different areas, but usually right around 60 to 72%, right around there for your easy runs. And then moving into tempo,
you're looking at closer to 85% of your max heart rate.
Well, you are the expert when it comes to running. I know based on your background and your awards in the past. You got a question for Matt, use the hashtag AskCoachRussell on Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube, and we could feature that question on an upcoming episode. Matt, thanks for a lot, and enjoy the rest of your ride.
Thank you.
Kelly Phil now is a USAT certified coach, personal trainer, professional athlete, duathlon age group world champion, two-time age group podium finisher, and she's also a college tennis player. So she's very accomplished in a variety of sports, and now we're going to talk about her take on what to do in the off season. What are some training ideas you can do to break up the long season of training that you've been involved in, and now moving forward to at least planning, I hope, for your next season if you're still within this. So this is Kelly Phil now talking about off season training ideas and making that transition in the off season.
And a big welcome back to the Ask Coach Phil Now show alongside Kelly Phil Now. I'm Dave Erickson, and today's topic has to do with off-season training, basically taking a break from the long year of racing and training for whatever endurance event you're looking at, whether it's marathons, Ironmans, or whatever. So Kelly, you have some ideas on how we can add some variety and keep it fresh in the off-season.
Absolutely. And I think after a long season, I think it's important to have a transitional period after you finish the season. And I think that starts with focusing on just exercising and not training. And there's a big difference between exercising and training and, you know, doing things different and unique that you're not used to doing. So say on a typical Saturday, you go out with the boys and you ride 4 hours. Well, maybe changing it up and having a pancake breakfast with your family and, you know, doing a morning activity with them and then going on a nice 4-hour hike with the entire family. So doing something different, you're getting great exercise in and great strength in that 4-hour hike, but you're including your family and you're changing it up a little bit too. And diversity is super important when you're in that transitional period. So, you know, maybe try something like a boot camp class or playing tennis and or jump roping, something that you're not used to doing, and your body will like that change. But and then after you go through that transitional period, it's good to focus on your limiters. So say you have a swim limiter or a run limiter, do a swim block or a run block, so you're more focused on you know, just that one sport. And sure, still do other sports as well, but definitely focus on your weakness too.
So if you're dominantly a triathlete, do you suggest maybe putting the triathlon sports on the back burner or a secondary in the off season and maybe try something that's not triathlon related at all?
Yeah, I say for the beginning of the off, so once you finish your season, I think it's important to have a good 6-week block of a little bit more recovery for not only your mind, but your body, because your body's been through so much damage over the intense training. And, you know, instead of getting up at 4:30 a.m. to get your 3-hour workout in, just sleep in a little bit and maybe focus on doing one workout a day. And then in that transitional period, that's when you can implement different activities, whether or not it's, you know, meeting friends that aren't triathletes or marathon runners for a boot camp class at the gym. And, you know, you're getting so much exercise, so much different kind of exercise and benefits from that. But it's just giving your body a break from, you know, swim, bike, run on a daily basis. And then once that period's done, I think more specificity is good. And back to your typical swimming, biking, and running, but just not the long endurance days that you're typically used to. And, you know, just implementing a little bit more, maybe speed bursts and more strength training. And I think your body will appreciate just the diversity in the training too.
So you said take maybe 6 weeks off after the season is over. Now, generally speaking, depends on the level of athlete or triathlete or endurance athlete. We're probably training, you know, 12, 15, 20 hours a week. Are we cutting that into a third? So instead of our 3-hour workout a day, maybe we're only doing an hour? Or what would you suggest as the percentage of breakdown from our current workload?
Yeah, and I think that's a great question. I think a lot of times this is the hardest part of the season for type A endurance athletes, but it's so crucial because you don't want to be a world champion in January. You want to make sure you are, you know, feeling refreshed when you get started back with your, you know, more of your specificity. So I definitely think lowering your training volume is super important, because then you can focus more on sleeping a little bit extra, and then getting brownie points with your family too. And, you know, maybe your wife likes to work out, but she's always sacrificing during the year because of the kids in the morning. So maybe giving her the your favorite morning hour, and then figuring out another time during the day to get your workout in. But yeah, instead of doing double or triple workouts, maybe just one sport a day, and that's still getting you some good training in, but it's also providing a little bit more of a break.
Pull the curtain back a little bit on the pro triathlete lifestyle like yours. What kind of break are you having, and what are some of the non-triathlon activities that you're doing this off-season?
Well, actually, I'm speaking exactly what I've been doing, because Wednesday I just did a swim workout, and then yesterday I just did a run, and then today I just bike. So I'm actually doing one sport a day instead of typically 2 to 3.
And how long are you currently in your off season?
I am probably in my off season right now. Still, last minute, you always make a decision. But yeah, I mean, the way I'm training right now, it's more off season.
Now, as a professional triathlete, what is the, for the people who are concerned out there, boy, I've worked out all season long, last 6 to 8 months, and I've got all this great fitness. I'm afraid if I take 6 weeks off, I'm going to lose all this great fitness that I've worked at so hard to get. What are the challenges of getting that back? How easily can we get it back? Can we get it back after taking a month and a half off?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And typically, you will lose fitness without a doubt. But because you've already built your fitness to a certain point, it will be much easier to get back to where you once were. And one of my friends, actually, Gwen, she's one of the best triathletes in the world. Last year, she took 2 weeks off of zero exercise. And then the next 2 weeks, she did 20 minutes of exercise a day. And, you know, that she had a spectacular season. So, I mean, it's definitely something that is really hard to do in the moment, because you're afraid to lose all this fitness. But, you know, long term, like, you're setting yourself up for an even more successful season when you're not experiencing. I mean, if you don't take an off season, then you're going to probably be burnt out when it comes time for your A race, and your performance won't be there. So I think it's important to, you know, really just have a coach or someone give you direction and tell you, like, okay, less is best at this point. And, you know, my sister did a clinic the other week talking about off season, and it was amazing to hear how everyone was so shocked at, you know, what you should be doing in an off season, because, you know, everyone's like, oh, we must continue to, you know, push hard. But really, if you want to have long-term success in, you know, marathoning or Ironman, triathlon, whatever it is, just periodizing the year and making sure your body's resting is important.
It seems to have worked out for your friend Gwen.
Yes, it definitely did.
Hey, you can learn more about Kelly and what she does on a regular basis at philnowcoaching.com. If you have a question for Kelly, use the hashtag AskCoachPhilNow on Twitter, Facebook, or on YouTube. Thanks a lot, Kelly. Have a great one.
Thank you.
Dr. Brian Mather is the owner of the Spokane Chiropractic and Sports Injury Clinic. Brian will be on our show here quite a bit over the next 5 to 6 weeks. He's a certified chiropractor sports physician. He's also the team chiropractor for the Spokane Chiefs Hockey Club. He has been for the last 15 years. Dr. Brian Mather, in this episode or this segment, is talking about sports injuries and the aging athlete. Some of you are maybe in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and beyond. So all of us have different ailments that hit us at different times of our lives. And so myself and Dr. Brian Mather go over some of those topics. He goes over them, of course. I'm just asking the questions. And so he's going to give us a breakdown of some of the things that would commonly pop up as you age, and which parts of the body, and some solutions to that. This interview is about five and a half minutes long.
And welcome back to the Ask Dr. Mather Show alongside Dr. Brian Mather. I'm Dave Erickson. A lot of us as athletes experience certain ailments, but there's different age ranges for all of us. What do you see typically between the ages of 20 and 30, 30 to 40, and 40 above walking through your door, starting with a 20 to 30-year-old range?
I think for the 20 to 30-year-old range, probably the most common thing we see is sacroiliac joint dysfunction, where the pelvis gets locked into place and it causes a slew of other issues in the lower extremities. In that age range, you also will see a lot of your overuse injuries, tendonitises,
things like that. And of course, I guess the other fair answer to that question is you'll see more severe injuries. The younger age groups have a tendency to push a little harder, so you'll see more bike crashes, or you'll see potentially more fractures, more bigger injuries, just due to the fact that they're probably pushing themselves a little harder. And then as you start to age and you get into that 30 to 40 range, now we are a little bit more at risk for disc herniation. That seems to be a common period of time where maybe we're not recovering quite as much as we should. We're aging, our bodies, our tissues are not as resilient, but we're still pushing pretty hard as athletes. And then you'll start to get more of the overuse stuff. So IT band issues, Achilles tendonitis, plantar fasciitis. So a lot of the different tendons and ligaments start to get overloaded, and we keep training through those and create aches and pains. And then from 40 on up, you're going to start to get degeneration. So you're going to start to see arthritic degeneration that starts to happen from usually the previous 20 plus years of your life training. Runners have been pounding on their knees and their hips and their lower back. So you start to see more of the degenerative issues that come along with aging, as well as the degenerative changes start to cause more mechanical problems, which in turn cause more muscular tendon problems. So there needs to be more recovery time. Maybe around 40, you're starting to see athletes that are kind of starting to buy into this concept of I need a little bit more recovery. Quite a few of them still haven't adopted that plan of adding more recovery into their training, but at least they're talking about it and they're sort of joking about how they know they need to, but they still haven't done it. And then as they push into their deeper into their 40s, they start to realize that in order for them to continue to compete and to train, they have to have better recovery. They have to have better nutrition. They have to have better training protocols. So if they want to continue to train at a high level and keep their body functioning for them, they learn they have to spend a lot more time taking care of their body. When we're 20, we don't generally do a great job at taking care of our body. When we're in our mid-40s or 50s, we learn we are forced to do that. So we start to pay attention a lot better.
As we go over 40, there's a lot more warming up and stretching involved.
Yes.
As a chiropractor and your sports injury clinic there, what is that some of the protocol that you would put someone through to get back where they were beforehand?
We want to take a look at the whole body. So we don't always necessarily just look at the area of pain. So for example, someone might come in and they may have knee pain. We're not just going to focus on the knee. In fact, probably over half of our cases, the pain is not, or the problem is not where the pain is at. The pain is showing up somewhere due to compensation somewhere else in the body. And so we've got to figure out what's the root cause of that knee pain and then try to address that. And we try to take a three-pronged approach. So we look at the joint mechanics, making sure that that everything is functioning in the joint level the way that it's supposed to, and we've got proper motion at the joints. Then we're going to take a look at the soft tissues, and if you've developed any scar tissue or fibrosis from overuse, that we're breaking that tissue down and getting it to function correctly. And then we're going to throw rehab in on top of that. We need to retrain these joints and muscles to do their job correctly at the time they're supposed to do it. That really gives our athletes optimal health so they can continue to train and push as they age, because their body's breaking down faster. So we've got to make sure that we're keeping the surrounding tissue functional and doing its job the way that it's supposed to.
Dr. Mather, great topics. Where can people learn more about your services and what you have to offer?
Well, they can get on our website at SpokaneSportsCairo.com. They can also call the office at 509-465-8400. They can send me an email. They can get on our website and get email addresses that way as well. I'm always happy to come out and do talks. And if a group wants me to come out and talk to their training group about different topics, I'm more than happy to do that. We work a lot in the community, especially in North Spokane, but all over Spokane. I'm the team chiropractor for the Spokane Chiefs, so I've been in organized athletics as a team physician for a lot of years, and we work with a lot of athletes, from youth athletes all the way up to geriatric athletes. So we're available to answer questions or to help in any way that we can.
And if you're watching now and you have a question for Dr. Mather, use the hashtag AskDrMather on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, and we'll do our best to answer them. All right, Dr. Mather, thanks very much.
Thank you, Dave.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast 142. Some variety there for you, and this is kind of our framework moving forward. So we talk with Wendy, Greg, Matt, Kelly, and Dr. Brian Mather, giving you a variety of takes on things, personal experience, all qualified with they're all certified coaches. They've got the education to back up their information. So that's what you can expect moving forward with our podcast. So thankful for them to share their knowledge with us and with you and myself. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Thank you very much. Coming up on our next episode, 143, talking about how we can bike more efficiently. Matt Russell is going to join us and talk about bike fitness and how it equates to run fitness. Greg will be back and talking about power meters, if you're curious about them. And since we're on the cycling theme, Dr. Mather will talk about how to prevent some cycling injuries because of the repetitive motion that we're always going through and some of the things that you may have problems with now. Let's say, for example, neck pain or lower back pain. We're all in that aero position for hours on end in training and then in races. So he's going to talk about some things we can do for that. And then Kelly joins us again, and her topic is mental strength. That is episode 143 next week. Until then, I'm Dave Erickson for Roger Thompson. Have a great week of training or racing. We'll see you next time.
Don't let me hear you say life's taking you nowhere. Life's begun, nights are warm and the days are young.